This is the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. You recall last year about this time we had Tony Richardson on our list of the triple I's, the most intriguing, inspiring, or inspirational people of the year?
Yes.
And now we go back to the story of Tony Richardson this morning.
Who's the Augusta EdTech, right?
Yep, Coney High School. And you may recall that she was disciplined after telling a coworker, and here's the quote, "I will pray for you." Coney sent her a coaching memo after that. The coaching memo, by the way, we got a copy of the coaching memo. We got a copy of the memo that Shelby Thibodeau, the assistant special education director at Coney High School, sent to her on September 19th, 1996. I don't know where I am this morning.
Yeah, the whole thing started back in May, didn't it?
Yes. And it involved the Mr. Blodgett, who was a part of the special education team. I'll read you this in a minute if you want. But for those that don't remember, Coney sent EdTech Tony Richardson a memo telling her, and this is the paraphrasing, "Do not share your faith or you'll face a punishment." And then she filed a suit. A suit was filed on her behalf, I should say, by an out-of-state organization. And the Christian Civic League was in partnership with it, I guess, in a way. Carol Connolly is going to come in studio and talk with us about it. I woke him up this morning with a text message. He's on his way in. But the school released an updated memo last Friday, Veterans Day observed, school vacation.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. Yeah.
Under the radar. Acknowledging her First Amendment rights, lifting the threat of discipline, and effectively settles the lawsuit.
Well, it never went very far. It was never heard by anyone. I remember the story quite well. I had a couple of questions from the get-go. The first question I had when I first heard of the story was, did it involve students? And it didn't. Because that's a whole different ball of wax if that happened. It didn't.
But the updated coaching memo does.
Yeah. Well, that was my first question. The second question was, who squealed?
Might have been Mr. Blodgett.
I don't know. I know they've resolved it. It's resolved, and off we go.
Do you want to hear the initial coaching memo?
Go to it.
This is a copy of the initial coaching memo. This was sent to Tony Richardson, again, September 19th, 2016. It's from Shelby Thibodeau, the assistant special education director. Reference, you get the memo, it's to, from, date, and then RE. The reference is staff relationships. Paragraph 1. This is a coaching memorandum pursuant to your professional responsibilities in the areas of staff relationships. This is going to get interesting. On September 15th, 2016, I met with you and your teaching team, and there are some names here. Let me set those aside. Public record, so I guess I can share this. Due to concerns that were expressed by your supervising teacher, Mrs. Hutchinson, and your interactions with Mr. Blodgett. Mr. Blodgett's part of the team. During that meeting, I expressed my expectation that you were a team, that's in quotes, which needed to work respectfully to the mutual goal of student success. On September 16th, 2016, you met with a series of people. You stated that you, quote, did not feel comfortable working with Mr. Blodgett, noting that statements he has made in the classroom were, quoting here, challenging slash almost aggressive in the way they were delivered. You cited an instance where, quoting here, he stood over you, pointed, and used an aggressive tone in regards to Mr. Blodgett's dissatisfaction with programming procedures and the manner in which he expressed his displeasure. You noted that these are areas of stress and discomfort for you. First I'd ever heard of that. That in this instance, there was a person who was working in that, to public record, a person that was working in that area using an aggressive tone, standing over you and pointing at you. Today, considering the headlines that we're reading, that could be misinterpreted. Here's the next paragraph. An investigation of your concerns indicated that you may have imposed some strong religious slash spiritual belief system toward Mr. Blodgett, stating, I will pray for you and you were in my prayers is not acceptable, even if that other person attends the same church as you. In the case of Everson versus Board of Education, the Supreme Court applied the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment to the states in the context of the separation of church and state. This case prohibits public schools sponsored religious expression. Therefore, in the future, it is imperative that you do not use phrases that interrogate public, use phrases that integrate public and private belief systems in the public schools. Going forward, I expect that when you disagree with a staff member, you will address it in a discreet and professional manner with no reference to your spiritual or religious beliefs. This coaching memorandum is not considered disciplinary in nature and will not be included in your personnel file. If you have any additional interactions that are deemed unprofessional by administration, you will be subject to disciplinary action and or possibly dismissal. If you have any questions of this coaching memo, please do not hesitate to contact me.
I like those coaching memos you send me every once in a while.
Oh, hush you.
You stand over me and point at me sometimes.
Oh, no, sir.
Yeah, I followed the story in the beginning.
Does that not?
We're about 5 days out now from the settlement. I guess all's well that ends well. It really came down to a First Amendment argument, really. I'm assuming, and you have a whole stack of stuff in front of you. I'm assuming, again, and the thing that I found interesting in this case was it seems to be, and I'm not knocking anyone, so don't take me out of context. Almost constantly now, we hear thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers. It's on social media. It's in conversation. Am I wrong? You just hear politicians saying it constantly. Everybody's saying it constantly. So I wondered when I read the story originally was, well, it was a private conversation. It wasn't, I didn't see the real problem here, really. In the beginning, I guess she took umbrage to the coaching memo. The coaching memo was the problem. Am I wrong?
I agree with you. The coaching memo is a problem. Otherwise, they wouldn't have reissued one in which, and we'll tell you what the new coaching memo says in just a moment, but can I go back and ask you, was there any investigation of Mr. Blodgett's behavior?
I don't know.
If there was an incident on September 16th in which it was previous to September 16th when this occurred. Why did they come down on Tony Richardson? Why did they not come down on Mr. Blodgett? You decided to come down on Tony Richardson for saying you're in my prayers and I will pray for you, and you didn't come down on Mr. Blodgett for allegedly, did you investigate and reportedly, standing over her, pointing, using an aggressive tone? Where are the priorities at Coney High School here?
We're also dealing with the union there, too, I think. So I don't know what's in there. I did look at it, but it's about 88 pages long. I didn't read it.
Is there an executive summary?
There wasn't an executive summary. So
the new memo.
Yeah.
The new memo says, and let me find it. It's in, this is according to the news account penned by Judy Harrison in the Bangor Daily News. The new memorandum also said comments such as God bless you or I am praying for you are now allowed when made to coworkers. Here's the critical point. Ready? 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 Outside the hearing of students.
Yep.
So you can say, I guess I'd better be careful not to say it to you because a student maybe. No. You can say, God bless you. You can say, I am praying for you. You can have these comments. Your First Amendment rights are extended to you as long as the students can't overhear you. Really?
Well, again, I go back to what I said and when you first brought it up in the first minute. My initial question was, were students involved in the original conversation? And they weren't, as far as I know.
Text message to us in the main technology group text line, 601-207-GHRT. Come on in, 601-207-4478 says, maybe Blodgett did get his own coaching memo. Maybe he did. It would be interesting to find out. So the new coaching memo sent to Coney High School EdTech Tony Richardson says, go ahead, you have your First Amendment right to do so. But just don't do it with any students within earshot. Caller, hello, the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. What are you thinking?
I can't tell if I want to be a teacher or be a criminal and go in prison. Sounds like the same thing.
1-800-966-1039, our telephone number and text messages in to us again in the MTG text line, 601-207-4478, 601-207-GHRT. Carol Connolly of the Christian Civic League of Maine taking a seat and joining us in spacious Studio 7A.
Morning, gentlemen.
What's your reaction to what they had to say?
Well, this has been, as you said, an intriguing case for sure. And there's a couple of things that really would like to clear up. There have been certain recounting of this story that makes it sound like the conflict between Mr. Blodgett and Tony were somehow related to her saying, "I'll pray for you." Oh. Totally unrelated.
Unrelated, even though
totally
the coaching unrelated. Memo, the coaching memo leads us to believe that those dots are connected with
absolutely.
A very strongly written line.
That's one of the, there were three major problems with the original memo. And of course, I know you and George know, but for our listeners' sake, my background's education. Yeah. You know, I was headmaster for years of Bank Christian, served on the executive board of the MPA. When I got this memo, George, I was actually in disbelief. Tony had done an intake call with us, with our office manager at the time. And when she told me this, I was incredulous. So I asked them to send me the memo. And when I saw it, I could not believe that anybody educated on the First Amendment could have possibly written this. So I had to apologize to Tony. But the idea that the Mr. Blodgett was having difficulty in the classroom, it was a new environment. They attended the same church together. Tony told them at the beginning of the year how glad she was to have, you know, a fellow church member working with him and things like that. And he was struggling with the environment and the changes. And so on two different occasions, she basically said, I'm praying for you. And then also he would say to her, thank you. I really appreciated that. You know, that meant a lot to me. You know, something like that. Then later, as a result, as you see the conflict where there was a situation where the lead teacher addressed something that happened in the classroom, which, you know, the lead teacher is supposed to do, he wasn't happy that Tony had, he thought Tony should have supported him and therefore issued his comments to her and so on after this lead meeting. And so therefore, through the investigation of his response to that situation, that is when, much to everybody's surprise, that, okay, Tony, now that we're done talking about Mr. Blodgett's behavior, now let's talk about your inappropriate behavior. So the chronology of that is very important because there are, like I said, there are times I've seen in social media and other places that made it look like it was like some snarky remark, like, you know, if George told me that he's happy that the Red Sox lost, I'll say I'll be praying for you, you know, or, you know, like a weapon or something. So that, wow. Want to put that aside. That is not what happened in any way, shape, or form.
You wouldn't know it.
No, you wouldn't. And that's why.
I said in the beginning, because I'm not really up to date on every aspect of this, but it was a coaching memo I thought was the problem from day one.
No question about it.
I didn't know the details, but when I read the story, I said, uh-oh. Because through the years, being around schools, hanging around schools,
right,
we know there's kind of a dividing line that we in public schools. I'm not talking about private schools like you were headmaster. In public schools, there is kind of a thin line sometimes that teachers walk. And as I pointed out, everybody's saying that cliche now. I'm wondering if kids pick it up off social media and say it in school, or teachers say it, and are we walking down a very shaky path here?
Can we get your reaction to that question when
Absolutely.
We come back?
Absolutely.
Carol Connolly of the Christian Civic League is here with us, our WVOMFM.com question of the day. Now that we've given you some background, do you agree with the Augusta School Department's revised coaching memo to Tony Richardson, the ed tech, who sued after she claimed she was discriminated against after offering to pray for a fellow employee? She can talk her faith in school, just not within earshot of students. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. Among the text messages to us in the MTG text line, one that simply says, thank you for talking about this. Vicky in Augusta writes to us, what is it teaching our children about the First Amendment when it cannot be said within their earshot? Speaking specifically of the revised coaching memo coming from the Augusta School Department to EdTech Tony Richardson, initially disciplined for sharing matters of faith, and now being told in a revised memo that she can do so. But outside the hearing of students, Carol Connolly of the Christian Civic League, our guest in our studio with insight into this case, and we were touching on a point before the break.
Well, George is absolutely correct, and it's not a thin line. In regard to, general expression, yes, and the public school, the student has to initiate it, a teacher can't say, and it has become much more sensitive, even saying in some parts of the country, you know, if someone sneezes, you can't say, God bless you, which is, you know, that's another issue.
Kind of crazy.
But in this issue, it is a broad white line. It's employee to employee, adult to adult. The First Amendment is absolutely clear wherever you work, whatever you do. And that's what made this situation just so strange because, you know, like I said, whether you're an attorney or whether you've just done any work anywhere, you know that you cannot restrict a person's First Amendment rights under these circumstances.
In all the years being in the broadcast business, I was sitting back thinking, goes back a few years. It goes way back into the 50s. I can only remember one instance where it ever came up, and a person was handing out religious tracts on the job site in the building. And was told, stop. You can do it outside the building. You can't do it in the building.
Right.
And that's the only time I think I ever ran into it. Now, because I wasn't in education, but I was in a lot of schools.
Sure.
And the rules have kind of morphed through the years. Really, your dad, you were teaching many years ago, and you've seen the transition, right?
I have. And it has changed, and it's culturally, and there are mores and so on. But that's why we have the Constitution, so those mores have something to come back to. Rick, something else that's really clear on this. I've been with Tony and her family with this from the whole time when they called in, and like I said, I was even somewhat incredulous. Some people have questioned her motives, and even in the Portland Press Herald article, I haven't seen the Bangor Daily yet, there was statements that made it sound like this wasn't necessary, like this could have just been resolved in another way without an attorney. Well, there have been three iterations of this memo. So from the very get-go, you guys are absolutely correct. This is about the memo. And when you get a memo that originally says if you continue that, you know, you can be subject to discipline and or dismissal, that gets your attention. When it references Everson, you know, a 1947 court case, it really has nothing to do with this situation whatsoever. There were things that Tony wanted accurately depicted. And the school was incredibly slow and not responsive to these changes. Personally, I would like to see the memo go all the way. But as an administrator myself, I understand that when you have two employees and there's a situation, you have to have a record of what's going on. That's that's what a coaching memo, and let's get this all done. But the indictment against her, but I want you to know, I want our listeners to know, Tony, that's what she wanted was a resolution. You know, that's what we all want. But the other part of that was we wanted to make sure that other people didn't experience this because this is becoming more and more you're hearing more situations where not necessarily anything diabolical by the administrators. They're in a risk aversion mode. And, you know, I've been there before. It's not because they hate the Constitution or they're anti-Christian always in this situation. But there is such because of lawsuits, administrators have become risk averse. Tony wanted to make sure that other people knew that they shouldn't have this happen to them. So she wasn't spiteful. She wasn't trying to get her pound of flesh or anything like that. She just wanted to make sure other people in her school and around the state understood what their rights were.
Can you give us an indication of this or some insight into this? Because in the memo that we read to listeners, which was penned by, and I'm going to use names, because I think this is a public record.
These are public documents.
Okay, public record. Shelby Thibodeau, the assistant special education director, sent this memo to Tony Richardson. And in it, it's also cited Lynn Adams, who is the special education director. Okay. And in my mind, I see Shelby Thibodeau writing this, but she's got to run it through Lynn Adams before she passes it on to Tony Richardson, in which they cite, as you just said a moment ago, in the case of Everson versus the Board of Education. Is that do they just not understand that the separation of church and state, which is not in the Constitution, doesn't apply in this case? Is that a misinterpretation on their part? Is it a misunderstanding? Are they unaware?
You notice that's not referenced in the last memo.
So, that's not a new memo.
That's no. correct. So that never should have been there. It was almost comical that it was there. Mm-hmm. Again, Rick, I don't want to be like mean-spirited or be caustic here. All I can tell you is my reaction as an educator when I saw this was this was unbelievable memo. I mean, there was just so many parts of it that were either inaccurate or not in any way connected with the case or the law that would be considered if there was some type of infraction here. And that's really the thing. Toni Richardson did nothing wrong. She did nothing illegal. She did nothing inappropriate. And yet she receives this incredibly indicting memo. And so, to know what they were thinking or what they were saying, and then to see the reluctance to change or to, you know, have to so many different iterations till it was finally in a resolution, I don't think Toni really had any choice, and especially with her desire to make sure this doesn't happen to anybody else.
Lawyers get involved,
mm-hmm.
and both sides have lawyers. She says now she's happy with the resolution. Do you agree with that? That's what the press is reporting. She's basically happy with the resolution of the case.
It's been a long situation. It's been, you know, it's been a year. Does she wish things that hadn't happened and being attacked on social media, you know, and those type of things? Certainly she doesn't wish that. But I know all along, if Toni feels that this not just corrected what happened, you know, in their workplace, but actually comes to the point where other administrators or other employees have a better grasp of what the rights are, then I know for her it's worth it, absolutely.
But going forward, she cannot, according to the updated memo, share her faith unless it's outside the hearing of students.
And that is the legality of that. I mean, that is absolutely legal. Unless a student initiates the conversation, then they can. So a teacher cannot, under, you know, school hours or anything like that, express their faith unless the student initiates it.
So it has to become, if George and I were teachers and a student's walking by, we have to whisper to each other?
Well, again, private conversation, you know, is if it was, I think we get into intent, but the idea is you can't be broadcasting your faith to a student in a classroom or in a professional setting.
And parents have an option. They can go to private school. They can go to a Christian school, because in the public classroom, you have many different faiths that are
sure.
in there. Some,
it's a public school.
It's a public school. Tax dollars are paying for it. You have some Christian, some non-Christian. You can homeschool, or Rick's kids went to private school or to religious school. You taught it at a religious school, which
sure.
I'm very familiar with. Very good school, and
just won their eighth soccer. Just won their eighth yep. championship.
Yeah, they do very well.
It's funny, those schools are all separation. Okay, that's whatever, but they're all getting paid in the same cash that says "In God We Trust" on it.
I do want to give shout out to First Liberty Institute. We have two law firms, Alliance Defending Freedom and First Liberty Institute. When people find themselves in this situation, they typically do not have the means, you know, to have good legal support. And so First Liberty Institute and Alliance Defending Freedom, that's why I'm not an attorney, and I've said many times, I don't even play one on television. However, when people call us, we are the conduit to the information so people can get good legal advice and even representation if necessary.
Liberty
First Liberty Institute.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Did they reach out to her, or did she reach out to them?
When she called me, I said we need to call, and that was on a Tuesday. They flew here on a Wednesday. I mean, this was one of the easiest
like
cases. Oh, again, this you get a lot of cases. And you think there's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. This was such an egregious situation. They flew up immediately, and I'd suggest people go to their website, First Liberty Institute, and there's a great video on this and a lot of information that more detail as far as what happened.
They flew to Augusta just as fast as you flew into our studio this morning, and we are grateful for that.